In opposition, the Coalition was scathing of the $10 billion Clean Energy Finance Corporation, or the CEFC. They called it Bob Brown's bank. Now in government, it's planning to scrap it. But the CEFC says that would be a mistake. It argues the corporation is actually making money for the government and is cutting emissions, says it could potentially deliver around half of the Coalition's 2020 carbon cuts. Gillian Broadbent is chair of the CEFC and a board member, of course. She joins me in the breakfast studio this morning. Gillian Broadbent, welcome again to breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Gillian Broadbent, your job now is to convince Tony Abbott to break a promise and to retain your organisation. How are you going to convince the Prime Minister to break trust with the Australian people?
Well, I think the CEFC has proved itself to be a very cost-effective tool in this emissions reduction pursuit. Australia certainly wants to achieve its emissions reduction, and it wants Australian industry to be competitive in a lower carbon world. And we're working in the marketplace, encouraging co-financiers to join us in pursuing these investments.
The key to your argument, I think there's two arms to it, but the key to it is you claim that the CEFC could potentially save 64 million tonnes of carbon emissions every year. That's about half of the 5% abatement task the government's looking for by 2020, and it won't cost the taxpayer a penny, basically. When you argue that point, what does the government say?
Well, the government has a very different model for what the CEFC is to what it is. I think it's a very different model from what they feared it might be. And we're asking them to have a closer look at what works at the CEFC and what has been effective. And when you do look closer at it, it's they're very interested in having the private sector pick this up. But being a catalyst to mobilising these funds, for every we've invested $536 million, and that's been matched 3-1 from the private sector. So we've generated $2.2 billion of private capital investment in this sector. And we've also worked with the major financial institutions in putting together funds that can be used for much smaller organisations. So it's the reception from the co-financiers and the industry that's made this so successful in a very short period of time. So it's the demonstration that I want the government to look more closely at.
Yeah, basically you're saying we've got the runs on the board in just 18 months. Have a look. Over 18 months already, 39 investments or programs in the portfolio of the CEFC, delivering an average return, I understand, of 7.3%. What's that in dollar terms?
What it is it's generated, these projects are going to result in 4 million tonnes of abatement per annum, and they're generating a return of $2.40 per tonne.
So when you meet with the Treasurer, as I understand you have, you've spoken with Joe Hockey, you've also spoken with the Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann, what do they say when you give them that set of figures, talking about a 7.3% average return?
I think they don't believe that the government should be in this space. They feel the market should pick it up. But there are lots of barriers in the market to picking this up. And it's interesting that in the short period of time we've been operating, that receptiveness of co-financiers to go down this path. Banks are very conservative, not in the sense that it doesn't mean we're investing in risky investments, because they've come with us and they're partners in these transactions, but they don't tend to go into new areas of investments. They tend to focus a lot of their activity on being more profitable in the major markets they're in.
So from your experience with the other financial institutions, dreams of another player picking this up, another sector to picking this up, would be unlikely to happen this morning.
No, it just doesn't happen of its own accord. But it's interesting, as being a catalyst and a concentrated area of focus in analysing the risk and understanding these projects, you're able to persuade the banks to join you. And we've got a very commercial group of executives and a very commercial board. So of the seven people on the board, three of them have been on credit committees of major financial institutions. So they're not investing in speculative ventures here. They're going through a lot of rigour to make sure that the funds are sound and the investments are performing.
So there's a fair bit of cred on the board, cred in the marketplace. You mentioned in speculative investments. That's exactly what the Environment Minister, Greg Hunt, described your financing model as this week, incredibly speculative.
Yes, so, and I just ask him to have a closer look at what the what the investments are and speak to our co-financiers. I don't think they'd think they were terribly speculative investments.
The political truth of this, though, is even if you did persuade the Treasurer and the Finance Minister and the Environment Minister, the Prime Minister is the key to this because he's the one that made the promise that it would be scrapped. Now, I think you're on the record of saying you'd be happy to speak to Tony Abbott, quote, if I felt there was an open-mindedness to the issue. Do you think the PM has a blind spot on this?
Well, I think there is a bit of a focus on breaking promises when I think the Australian public really wants good policy and continuity of policy. And thinking and open to what's been demonstrated that works. I think promises can be a bit too much of a simplification of what's a fairly complex area that needs a lot of instruments and tools to achieve an outcome. So a promise to abandon a fund when it hadn't really been operating and hadn't demonstrated its effectiveness is, I think, should be reassessed.
The Greens leader, Christine Milne, is not so charitable as you in her description. I guess that's understandable. She said this week the Prime Minister's displaying ideological spite over this. Do you think it's ideology? Do you think it's spiteful? Or do you think it's just wanting to stick to your promises?
I'm not close enough to those promises and the political process. I've just been focused on establishing a credible organisation and progressing Australia's investment in emissions reduction, which is what I think there's broad popular support for.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 11 minutes to 8. Our guest this morning is the chair of the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, Gillian Broadbent. Gillian, just to give people listening an idea of the sort of projects that are occurring with the assistance or because of the existence of the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, tell us about the tomato farm at Port Augusta. Why would a government want to be investing in that?
Well, that's a very good investment. We're quite enthusiastic about that. The Sundrop Farms is growing tomatoes just out of Port Augusta, and they've been operating there since about 2010. And on a small scale, they've got a solar thermal plant that uses sunlight to desalinate salt water to produce water. It also produces the heating and cooling needed to grow these tomatoes in a series of glass houses. So you've got really the Great Southern Ocean and sunshine producing tomatoes in an area which is fairly very dry, pretty harsh conditions and fairly substandard farming land. So it's a really good story, and it's going to have a long-term contract of supply to the supermarkets, and we're participating. It's a $100 million project.
But why wouldn't it have happened without you if it's a good story and a good project?
It's a totally novel technology. It's $100 million. We're providing 25% of the funding. One of the major banks is matching us in that funding. But without us telling the story and persuading the bank to be there, it just wouldn't happen. It's a bit small for the bank, and yet there's a real appetite in the major banks to participate in these things, but they do need the story being told and the risk management to be analysed and put in front of them with a sympathetic co-financier.
Gillian Broadbent, just before I let you go, we are crossing to Arthur Sinodinos, the Assistant Treasurer, in a moment. Would you like to make a final pitch here? And now I'm sure he's listening about the savings and
I think my only pitch is, can you look closely at what's effective about the CEFC and consider it?
Just consider it.
Yes.
Gillian Broadbent, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Gillian Broadbent, Chair and Board Member of the $10 billion Clean Energy Finance Corporation. Earlier this week in the Senate, the bills, the 11 bills to scrap the carbon tax and emissions trading, they were split. Labor and the Greens joined together to separate out the legislation so that the bill to abolish the CEFC and the Climate Change Authority are now dealt with separately. It's 8 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.